Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Yosef Sonnenschein. Meseches Chagiga has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Dovi Merenstein as a zchus for their children.
The following shiur is on Mesechta Chagiga Daf Yud Dalet. The Daf begins with a Gemara that describes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had wanted to create another 974 Dairos before the world was created. Rashi explains that this is in accordance with the pasuk in Tehillim that says, "Davar tziva le'elef dar," that the tziva of his words, meaning giving the Torah, Matan Torah, would come after 1,000 generations, elef dar. If you make a cheshbon and combine the 974 dairis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had wanted to create, and the 26 dairis that Hashem did create before Matan Torah, from Briyas HaAdam until Matan Torah, you have 1,000 dairis. The Maral in the Sefer Nesivos Olam, Nesiv HaBusha Perek Beis, explains that the reason for this Ratzon, to wait 1,000 generations from the Briyas HaOlam until Matan Torah, was to show how different the Olam Ruchni, which is the Torah, is from the Olam Gashmi. This would be demonstrated by separating the creation of the Olam Gashmi by 1,000 Dairos from the Nesinas HaTorah on that world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw, Rashi explains, that the world can't survive that long without Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away 974 Dairos, leaving us with 26 Dairos, which is the gematria of the Shem Havaya. Zok de Maral, that by using the Shem Havaya to separate between the Briyas HaOlam and Matan Torah, we see at least some separation between the creation of the Olam Gashmi and the giving of the Torah. The Gemara says that these neshamas that would have been created in those dairos are the azei panim of each generation, and memela, these are the neshamas upon whom the river of fire, Nahar Dinur, which is formed by the sweat of the chayos that we learned about in Daf Yud Gimel, flows. It's interesting that they're specifically the azei panim of each dar, not the rishayim. The Gemara identifies their exact midah, their azei panim. Perhaps the pshat is that the maral that we quoted earlier, and also in Derechayim Perekei Mishnechof, explains that the midah of azus is that the person, the azponim, is not nispoel, not affected by anything. He's a stone. He's not open to any change or to any impression. An impression can't be made upon him. Because of this, the Maral explains, the Gemara in Tainis says, Ein hageshamim ne'etzorim, elo bishvil azeponim. The rain is only held back because of azeponim. Azeponim are rock hard in their stubbornness and brazenness. Therefore, if we find that the Shamayim has closed up, it's become rock hard, like something that won't open up, this is Midah Kenegan Midah, because of the Azeponim. Now, being that these Neshamas were supposed to exist before there was a Torah, and that means they were supposed to exist before there was something for them to open their hearts to, perhaps that's why these neshamas specifically struggle with the midah of azus, that they're not prepared to open up to anything. They're not prepared to be nispoil. The Turei Evan here asks a shtarka kasha. The Gemara in Zvachim Daf Kuf Yud Zayin brings that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was about to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael, the Umayis HaOlam gathered by Bilam HaRasha to ask him what was going on. They heard the Kail of Hashem, which filled the world, and they were terrified. Bilam told them that Hashem had a hidden treasure, which he had been waiting to give to his children since 974 Dairos before the world was created. And Rashi there is Masber, that the 974 Dairos before the world was created, combined with 26 dairis from the creation of the world, leaves us with elef dar, as the pasuk says, davar tziva le elef dar. So from the Gemara in Zvachim, it sounds like the 974 Dairis did exist. Hashem was waiting for 974 Dairis. And Hashem waited before the world was created, this amount of time, before he gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. But here in our Gemara, it sounds like the 974 Dairis would have existed after the world was created, except that the world couldn't be Miskayim, so the plan was altered, and there was only 26 Dairis. Another kasha the Turei Even asks, is that if indeed the plan of 1,000 Dairis was not Niskayim, as Rashi explains, why did David HaMelech write in Tehillim that Davar Tziva le'elef dar? Lemaisa, in the Olam HaMaisa, this is not what happened. Zok de Turei Even, that the two Gemaras are not a stira at all. Rather, they fit together perfectly and beautifully. Had the world been able to be Miskayim for 1,000 Dairis before Matan Torah, Hashem would have created the Torah and the world at the same time, and then would have waited for 1,000 generations before bringing the Torah down onto this world by Matan Torah. This is our Gemara. However, being that the world couldn't be Miskayim this way, Hashem created the Torah 974 Dairis before he created the world, so that with the addition of the Chaf Vav Dairis from Briyas HaOlam until Matan Torah, we would have a kiyum of the Pasuk Davar Tziva Le'elev Dar. So it comes out that either way the Pasuk was Niskayim, it's just that the oifen of the kiyum changed from the Hava Amina to the Maskana. Now, from our Gemara we see the tremendous chisaron of the Midah of Azus Panim, that ultimately it leads to Chatoim, which causes the terrible einish of the Nahar Dinur falling on the heads of these Azepanim. Tosfos says in our Sugya that these Azepanim are so dangerous that Hashem had to spread them out over Dairos so that they shouldn't have the power to destroy the world. And we see this in other places as well, how dangerous the Midah of Azos Panim is. The Gemara in the first parak of Tainus, Dav Zayin Omid Beis, says, Omar Rav Amnuna, Kol Adam Sheyesh Loi Azos Panim, Soif Nichshal Be'Avera. Any person that has Azos Panim will certainly be Nichshal in Avera. Rav Nachman there takes it a step further and says, Biyodua Shen Nichshal Be'Avera. That it's certain, we know that he was already Nichshal in Avera. So we see from here how important it is to be rachayk ma'oid, extremely distant from the stubbornness and brazenness of this Midah. However, it's really not so simple, because we also find that Klal Yisrael are praised because they are azim. The Gemara says in Be'ah, Daf Chofei Omid Beis, Mipnei ma nitna Torah li Yisrael? Why was the Torah given to Klal Yisrael? Mipnei shehein azin. Because they are azin. And the Gemara goes on to say that Klal Yisrael are the azim among the umos. The strongest contrast between the Midah Taiva of Azos and the Midah Garua of Azos is the Mishnah in Perakei, in Pirkei Avos. There the Mishnah at first says, B'shem Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, Hevei az kanomer, that one should be brazen like a leopard. The Mishnah then goes on to say, Az Panim l'Gehenim, and Az Panim will wind up in Gehenim, as we find by the Az Panim in our Gemara. We see from here that one has to be very careful with the Midah of Azus. If used not in the service of Hashem, it is a guaranteed Pesach to Chet and Gehenim. But if used properly, it is the Midah because of which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. The Torah in the very beginning of Erechayim teaches us how a Yid uses the Midah of Azos properly. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema in the Mishnah that we mentioned brings four Midahs that a Yid should have, but the first one he mentions is Az Kanemer. Zok di Torah that the reason that Az Kanemer is first is because it is a klal gadol ba'avodas ha'boreh yisbarach. Because sometimes a person wants to do a mitzvah, and he holds himself back from doing it because of people who will make leitzanos of him, mipnei hamalgim olav. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda ben Teima tells us that he should be stubborn, and he should be meiz ponim keneged hamalgim. The Torah brings a pasuk in Tehillim where David HaMelech says, Va'adabra be'edoisecha neged melachim v'loy evosh. I will speak of your mitzvahs in front of kings, and I will not be ashamed. The Torah explains that David didn't say this about when he was Yoshev al kisei malchusai, and he had no reason to be intimidated or embarrassed. But even when he was on the run, and being chased among the nations, he proudly was mekayim the mitzvahs without busha, v'loy evosh. This leaves us in a difficult matzav. How does one employ the midah of azus without it affecting him and turning him, chas v'shalom, into someone who is an az panim? The Beis Yosef is medayik from the Torah that we brought, a mahalach that can protect a person from being affected by that midah. He says that the Torah tells us that one should use the midah of azus not to be embarrassed, and not to hold oneself back from doing the right thing. Only for this, says the Beis Yosef, that you should do the mitzvah anyway, but do not engage in machleikis with the leitzanim. Zok the Beis Yosef, mipnei shemidas ha'azos meguna me'oid, kemoi shenizkar. The midah of azos is very meguna. Ve'ein ro'oi lehishtamesh mimena klal, it's not ro'oi to use at all, afilu ba'avoidas Hashem Yisbarach, even in the service of Hashem. For what is it not ro'oi to use the midah of azus in the service of Hashem? Ledaber divrei azus keneged ha-mal'igim, to speak in an azusdika manner to the mal'igim. If one does that, the results could be frightening. Ki yikne kinyin b'nafshoi liyois az, he will be kaina this midah in his nefesh, to be an azosdika person, afilu shaloi b'makoim avoidasa yizbarach, even when it's not in the service of Hashem. There is, however, an exception to this rule. The Bir Halacha in Simen Aleph says that this is true, what the Beis Yosef says, that one should use his azus not to be ashamed of his avodas Hashem, but he should not use his azus to engage and to argue or fight with those leitzanim. That's true kol zman that the leitzanim can be ignored. But if the leitzanim are trying to affect the tzibur by making takonos or affecting the tzibur in any way, then it is a mitzvah to stand up kenegdam and to be loichei melchemes ha-Torah. As David HaMelech himself said, Haloi misan echo Hashem esna, ubiskoi memecha, and with those who stand up against you, eskoitat, I will wage machloikis. The next inyan that we'll examine today is the stira that the Gemara asks between the pasuk in Daniel that describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol as having white hair, and the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, which describes him Kaviyachol as having black hair. The Gemara answers that it's referring to two different matzavim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yoshev B'Yeshiva, and the pasuk in Daniel is talking about Hashem being Yoshev L'Mishpa to judge the world, and for that matzav, a zaken is more appropriate. Thus the white hair. And the pasuk in Shir HaShirim is talking about milchama, and for that matziv, a young person who still has black hair is more appropriate. The Gemara on the surface is extremely mystifying. Kaidim kol, one of the yesodos of our amuna is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu einai guf, v'lo yasigehu masigei haguf, v'ein loy shum dimyon klal. As we say in the Ani Mamins, Hashem has no guf in any way, shape, or form. What do these psukim mean when they describe Kaviyachol, the color of his hair? And why is it important? What does the color of his hair represent? It's interesting that in the Anim Zmiris that many shuls say on Shabbos and Yontif, there is a reference to the white and the dark hair, and seems to be referring to our Gemara. We say in Anim Zmiris, Vayechezu becha zikna ubacharos, usa'a roishcha beseva vishacharos, zikna biyoim din, ubacharos biyoim krov, ki ish milchamois yodov loy rov. We say to Hashem that they saw in you a zokain and a bachur, and the hair on your head like an old man, and black like a young man. Then we explain that the zikna is for the yoim din, and the bachros for yoim krov, which is milchama, where Hashem is ki'ish milchamos. Mamish a description of our Gemara in rhyme. Now this that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears sometimes as a zokain and sometimes as a youngster can confuse a young nation who is first learning about a Hashem Echad, especially when that zokain is not just a zokain, but he's a zokain malei rachamim, a compassionate zokain. And the bacher is not just a bacher, but he's a bacher who's fiercely waging war, the opposite of malei rachamim. Rashi in Chumash in Parshas Yisroi, Perek Chav Pasuk Bey, says that this is the kavana of the Pasuk in the very beginning of the Aseres HaDibros, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduced himself on Har Sinai by saying, Anoichi Hashem Eloikecha Asher Hoitzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Even though now you see me as a Zokein Molei Rachamim, I am the same one, Asher Hoitzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, who fiercely waged war for you as a Gibor Melchama when you came out of Mitzrayim. We see from here that the idea of the Zokein and the idea of the Bacher are not Chas V'Shalom about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks, but about the Midah that Klal Yisrael or the Navi is seeing. We know that Hashem Eloikeinu Hashem Echad, Hashem is completely one. But at different times HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals to us different aspects of His Midah. And we perceive Him either as a Rachman or as a bacher at war. The perception of the Navi, or of Klal Yisrael, that Hashem is Malei Rachamim, is called in the Psukim and Chazal as seeing Him as a Zokein Malei Rachamim. The Sfarim say that the white of the Zokein and the black of the bacher are also part of the Midah of each one. See, l'mashal, the pre-tzaddik in Kedushas HaShabbos, Maimer Hey. We know, l'mashal, that Yoim is shayach to Chesed, and Laila to Midas Hadin. As the Pasuk says, l'hagid ba'boiker chazdecha, ve'emunoscha ba'leilois. In the morning, we experience Hashem's Chesed, but at night, which represents a time of din, we need to hold on to our emuna, ve'emunoscha ba'leilois. According to these Yesodos, we can have a greater appreciation of the Lashon that we say in Haggadah Shel Pesach. Omer Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, Harei ani kiven shivim shana, v'loi zochisi shetei omer yitzias mitzrayim ba'leilois. The Gemara in Brachas, Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph, says that Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah wasn't mamish 70. Rather, he was kiben shivim shana. It was like he was 70. In reality, he was 18. And his wife expressed concern that they wouldn't keep him because he doesn't have white hair. So a nes happened, and 18 rows of white hair appeared in his beard. The questions here are obvious. What does it help that a nes happened that his beard turned white? Are we really chayshed, the people of his dar, of such childishness that the actual color of his beard makes a difference in how they feel about his leadership? If they felt that an 18-year-old is too young to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, what does it help if he prematurely turns white? Also, what does this have to do with saying Yitzias Mitzrayim at night? Why was Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah mocked him with these words, Harei Ani Kiven Shivim Shana, as an introduction to the drosha that allows us to be Mazker Yitzias Mitzrayim Ba'Leilois? According to the Yesodos that we discovered in our sugya, we can understand that when Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah's wife was worried because he didn't have a white beard, it wasn't the beard that she was concerned about, but the midos associated with a white beard. Zakein malei rachamim, a mida of rachmanas. A younger leader naturally tends to be more fierce and exercises more midas hadin than an older person who learns to lead with the mida of chesed and rachamim. That's why a younger person has a black beard, which represents the midas hadin, as opposed to an older person who has a white beard, which represents the midas hachesed. When a nace happened and his beard turned white, it was understood that the message was that he was capable of leading Klal Yisrael as a zaken. His midas changed. There was a revelation that this person's midas weren't the midas of a black beard. They were the midas of a white beard with all of the malei rachamim that was needed. Now the truth is that when we look at day and night, only day is shayach to geula, as we explained earlier, because night is merames to choshech, golus, and hester ponim. Even so, Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah wanted that we should be mazker yitzias Mitzrayim at night, because although we may associate darkness with din and hester ponim, that's only on the surface from our viewpoint. But under the surface, in reality, kol made ovid rachmana letav ovid, everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, even the seemingly bad things, are latayv. The Ksav Sefer in Parshas Bereishis says that this is merumas in the pasuk in the beginning of Bereishis that tells us vayhi erev, vayhi boiker, yoim echad. The night and the morning form one day together, meaning that ultimately, even the night, the choshech and midas hadin, is part of the Yoim Echad. The Ksav Sefer points out that in every single language in the world, while there are words for night and words for day, but the whole period of night and day together is always called day, not night, even though it's half night and half day. And this is because in reality, even the night part of the day, even the choshech part of the day, even the midas hadin part of the day, is really part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed, because in reality, everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is l'tayv, even though in this world we don't see it. So let's go back to Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, who wanted us to be mazkir yitzias Mitzrayim even at night, because ultimately, even the dark is part of the light. So when Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah wanted to introduce this halacha, he was makdim with what happened to his beard. That the dark, the midas hadin, the black beard, became part of the light, that he was given a white beard. So he started off saying that I experienced how there could be a giloy even from the choshech of Ur, even from the din of Rachamim. I experienced it in myself. Hare ani keben shivim shana v'loy zochisi shetei omer yitzias Mitzrayim ba'leilois ad shedorsha ben zoyma. The Gemara then goes on to ask another stira. Kosov echod omer korsei shvivin dinur. V'kosov echod omer adi chorsovon remiv v'atik yoimin yisiv. Now this is not really two separate psukim. Rather, it's two parts of the same pasuk in Daniel. While describing his dream of the four chayos, which represent the four malchios, Daniel describes seeing the kisei. But at one point he calls it korsei, which is singular, indicating one kisei, and at another point he calls it chorsavan, which translates into kisa'ois, plural, indicating more than one kisei. The Gemara brings three possibilities to explain what the two kisa'os could be for. The first teretz is Echod Loi ve'Echod LeDavid, one for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and one for David HaMelech. The Aruch Lener in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis, asks, Why didn't the Gemara answer that one was for that special malach mem tes tes, that the Gemara tells us later on daf tes vavam and aleph, that he is the only malach that has rishus to sit in Shemayim? So wouldn't it be logical to assume that the second kisei that Daniel saw was for that malach? Why didn't the Gemara give that teretz? L'chayra, we can answer this kasha by understanding an inyan that the Yad Ramah writes there in Sanhedrin. A kisei is not a chair, it's a throne. The inyan of a kisei in Shemayim is not just a place to sit. Perhaps it's not even a place to sit at all. As the Yad Ramah points out, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu einoy guf kidei sheyehei tzorech leishev al gabei kisei. He's not physical, that he would need to sit on a kisei. Rather, the inyan of a kisei is an inyan of memshala umalchus. As we found that Paroi told Yosef in Parshas Miketz, Rak hakisei egdal mimecha. Just the kisei I will keep greater than you. It wasn't about the physical throne, but it was about the malchus that Paroi was telling Yosef that as great as his malchus was, the malchus of Paroi would be greater. Memela, even though there's a malach who's permitted to sit in Shemayim, if that malach does not represent malchus, there's no hava amina that a kisei is for him. With this, the kasha of the Aruch Lener is meturitz. The Aruch Lener also gives a teretz on his own based on the pasuk in Daniel Ayin Shom. We won't go into it here. The second teretz that the Gemara brings is from a braisa, b'shem Rabbi Yosi Haglili, that the purpose of the two kisayas is echod ledin ve'echod letzdaka. In other words, for the two hanhagos of Hashem's malchus, the hanhaga of din and the hanhaga of rachamim. Interestingly, these two kisayas are mentioned by the Bir Agro and Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, Simen Tovkuf Pehei, b'shem Chazal. The Bir Agro brings the Maimer Chazal, that b'sha'a she'Yisrael neitlin shofar v'toikin, at the time that Yidden take the shofar and blow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu oimed me'kisei din, v'yoshev al kisei rachamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rises from his kisei of din and sits on his kisei of rachamim. Once again, we see this idea that there are two kisa'ois, one for din and one for rachamim. That was the second teretz of the Gemara. The final teretz the Gemara brings from Rebbe Eleza ben Azariah, that one is a kisei and one a shrafraf. One is a kisei and one is a footstool for his feet, kaviyacho. Now, our Gemara brings, to back this up, a pasuk that we've seen before that we learned on Daf Yud Beis, Hashamayim kisei v'ha'oretz hadoim ragli. With the HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Navi that the Shamayim is my throne and the Oretz is my footstool. The Turei Evan on our Sugya points out that when this Teretz of Echad L'Kisei ve'Echad L'Shrafraf is brought in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis, the Gemara says the Teretz but does not bring this Pasuk. The Turei Evan says that he feels that the pasuk is brought b'ta'os in our Gemara, and that the true girsa is the girsa of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Why? Because that pasuk, zok the Turei Evan, has nothing to do with this pasuk of the two kisa'os. The two kisa'os mentioned here are both in Shamayim, while according to the pasuk of Hashamayim kisi, it's the earth itself, the Oretz, that's the footstool of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not the second kisei in Shamayim. The MS is, however, that whether or not he was Geiris, Lehedya, in the Gemara there, the Yad Ramah explains this Teretz, this Gemara of Echad Lekisei v'Echad Leshrafraf, al pi the pasuk of Hashamayim kisei. The Yad Ramah says that the two kisa'is represent the malchus of Hashem in Shamayim and the malchus of Hashem on the Eretz. So even though both kisa'is are in Shamayim, the fact that there is two is because the Malchus of Hashem is twofold in Shamayim and in Eretz. And the tzura of the two kisa'os, one as a kisei and one as a shrafraf, represents the reality that the Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, refers to as a kisei, and the Eretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, refers to as Hadoim Ragli, as a footstool. Now it's fascinating that the kisei of the Malchus of the Eretz is a footstool, a place for the Raglayim. We've mentioned several times HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a guf, and certainly doesn't need a footstool. So what's the inyan of this makom for Raglayim? Let's look at the Guf HaAdam, who we know that the Guf HaAdam is created, B'Tselem Elohim. At the very, very top of the guf is the Rosh, the Melech, where the Seichel is. And the furthest thing from the Seichel is the Raglayim. The Raglayim, the most distant thing from the Seichel, are merames to the things a person does without thinking, without his Seichel. For example, David HaMelech says in Kapitel Kuf Yotes, Chishavti Derochai Ve'oshiva Raglai El Eidei Secha. Chazal explain, Chishavti Derochai, I made a cheshbon of where I need to go, drachai. But raglai moilichin oisi lebeis hamedrash. My raglayim keep bringing me back to the beis hamedrash. Unwittingly, my raglayim bring me to the beis hamedrash, even though that wasn't my plan. We see that the raglayim represent when something happens mindlessly, without the involvement of the seichel. In fact, the word in Lashon HaKodesh for habit, which is really something that happens mindlessly, is hergel, mi Lashon Raglayim, because it is done without the Seichel. Where in the world that Hashem created do we find a parallel to the hergel, to the habit, which exists in people? Obviously, it's the Olam HaTeva, nature. The way the world seems to function on its own, in a cycle that seems to be as if there's no seichel behind it. The teva of the olam is to the world what the habit of a person is to the person. No wonder the kisei, which represents Hashem's malchus on this world, is referred to as a shrafraf, a makom for raglayim, because it is dafka a makom for raglayim, which describes a world whose hanhoga seems to go by itself, the world of hergel or teva. Now that we have gone through the three possibilities brought in the Gemara as to what the purpose of the two kisa'os that Daniel saw is, we can see that all three possibilities are really different aspects of the same inyan. Let's begin with the first teretz. The first teretz was Echad Loi ve'Echad LeDavid. This teretz holds that the two kisois represent the Malchus of Shamayim and the Malchus of this world, the Malchus of David. David is the Melech who brings Malchus Shamayim down into this world. So the two kisois, one would represent the Malchus Shamayim and one represents the Malchus that exists on the Eretz. The second teretz said that one is for din and one for tzedakah or rachamim. Now we mentioned earlier on Daf Yud Beis that in Parshas Bereishis there are two psukim which describe the Briyas Shamayim v'Oretz. The first is Bereishis Bara Elohim es HaShamayim v'es HaOretz, and the second is B'Yoyim Asois HaShem Elohim Eretz v'Shamayim. And we know that the Shem Elohim represents Midas Hadin, and the Shem Havaya represents the Midas HaChesed, the Harachamim. So why does the first Pasuk, Bereishis Bara Elohim, only mention Din, while the second Pasuk, B'Yoyim Asois HaShem Elohim, mentions Rachamim and Din? Rashi and Chumash on the first Pasuk explains, B'Shem Chazal, that bitchila Allah b'machshava livroyes ha'olam b'midas hadin, Originally, the machshava was to create the world with Midas Hadin. But Hashem saw that the world could not be miskayim this way. So Shiteif Ima Midas Harachamim. He partnered together with the Midas Hadin, the Midas Harachamim. So the first pasuk Bereishis Bara Elokim represents the Ola b'machshava livrei Yisraelim b'midas hadin, and the second pasuk B'yoyim Asois Hashem Elokim represents the Soif that he was shiteif ima midas harachamim, that in the end HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mishateif rachamim together with the din Hashem Elokim. Now let's ask ourselves, for whom did the world need Midas HaRachamim, the Aretz or the Shemayim? It's Pashut that the Aretz, which has people with Bechira, who can make mistakes in what they're Boicher, and do things that are Neged Ratzon Hashem, they're the ones that need Midas HaRachamim. And it's clear in the Pasuk that way. Because the pasuk that mentions the Shem Havaya B'yoyim Asois Hashem Elokim is Makdim Eretz to Shamayim, B'yoyim Asois Hashem Elokim Eretz V'Shamayim, because it's the Eretz that needs it. We see this idea also in the Sefer Beis Elokim from the Mabit, in the Shar HaYesodos Perek Chamishi, which says as follows: Hashem Elokim. Zok the Mabit, Hashem Kaidim Leilokim. For this reason, the pasuk says Hashem before Elokim, Keneged Ha'aretz HaKoidemes LaShamayim. Keneged the Aretz, which is written in the pasuk before Shamayim. Shehutzricha L'midas HaRachamim Shetitztarev. Because it was the Aretz which needed the Midas HaRachamim to join. Veloikim keneged Shamayim, and Eloikim is keneged Shamayim, she'enom tzrichim l'rachamim, because Shamayim does not need rachamim. So we see that the involvement of Midas HaRachamim is for the Oretz. So if our Gemara says that there are two kisa'os, one for din and one for rachamim, it comes out that the one for din corresponds to the echad loy earlier, to the Malchus Shamayim. And the one for Rachamim corresponds to the Echod LeDavid, which has to do with the Malchusa de Ara, the Malchus on this world. And finally, the last teretz of the Gemara, that one is a Kisei and one is a footstool, this clearly goes according to the same Mahalich, that the Kisei is Shayach to the Malchus Shamayim, as the Pasuk says, HaShamayim Kisei, and the Shrafraf, the footstool, represents the Malchus on this world, as we explained earlier from the Yad Ramah, as the Pasuk says, V'ho'oretz hadoim ragli. So even though the Tanoim argued exactly how to express the difference between the two kisois that Daniel saw, we see that all the Tanoim looked at it in a similar way, that one has to do with the Malchus in Shamayim, and one has to do with the Malchus on this world. The Gemara further on our daf returns to the inyan of teaching Maisa Merkava. And the Gemara brings a braisa which says a maisa about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that was roichav al hachamor and was going baderech. Rabbi Eleza ben Aruch mechamer acharov. Rabbi Eleza ben Aruch asked his Rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, to teach him a perek echod b'maisa Merkava. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai responded that I already taught you, v'loy b'merkava b'yochid, elo im kein ha'yachacham u'meivin midaitoi. As if to say that Rabbi Eleza ben Aruch is not a chacham u'meivin midaitoi, and therefore is not worthy of being taught ma'isa merkava. So Rabbi Eleza ben Aruch said, Omar loy, Rebbe, tarsheni loy mar lefanecha dovar echod shalima adetani. Allow me to say before you an inyan that you taught me in Ma'isa Merkava. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai allowed him to do so, and he had such confidence that Rabbi Eleza ben Aruch was going to be mechaven properly to Ma'isa Merkava that he got off his chamor and sat down al ha'even tachas hazayis to hear the words, the drasha of Ma'isa Merkava that Rabbi Eleza ben Aruch was going to say. The Marsha here asks that Niman of Shach, the Gemara seems shver. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, allow me to say before you something that you taught me, indicating that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had taught him Ma'aseh Merkava. If so, that means that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai felt that Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch was worthy of learning Ma'aseh Merkava, that he was a Chacham Umeivin Midaitoi. Im Kain, why is it that when Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to please teach me Perek Echod B'Maisa Merkava, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, what do you mean? I already told you I can only teach it to a Chacham Umeivin Midaitoi. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had already taught Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch Ma'aseh Merkava, because Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch asks if he could repeat something Shalimadetani, that you taught me. The Marsha suggests that the Braisa here is referring to a Ma'aseh that the Gemara in Chavis and Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Zayin Omid Beis brings, that Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch forgot his learning. The Gemara there says that Chamra de Prugaisa and Mayim de Diumeses, the wine of this place Prugaisa and the water of Diumeses, spoiled Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch's Tfisa of Torah. He was Imshech Basrayu and Iaker Talmudei. And Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch forgot his Torah. Zokta Marsha, previously, before Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch had forgotten his Torah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai considered him worthy of learning Ma'aseh Merkava and had taught him Ma'aseh Merkava. But now that it was after that had happened, and Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to teach him Ma'aseh Merkava, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was concerned that Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch was no longer a Chacham Umeivin Midaitoi. And therefore he said to him, I already taught you that I can't teach Ma'aseh Merkava, Elo Imkein, Haya Chacham Umeivin Midaitoi. Zokt Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, I can say over to you Ma'aseh Merkava that you taught me. Oh, that means that he was able to bring back, he was able to express the Ma'aseh Merkava that he had already, in previous times, before he forgot his learning, had learned from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai knew that he had taught him Ma'aseh Merkava, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sat down, Tachas Hazayis, to hear his words of Ma'aseh Merkava. The Marsha ends by saying that in the Yerushalmi it doesn't say these words, Shalima Detani, that you taught me. So he says that that's a better girsa, that Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch was not referring to words of Ma'aseh Merkava that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had taught him because of the kasha that he mentioned earlier. Now on Daf Yud Gimel, when we learned the sugya of Loi B'Merkava B'Yachid, we learned the Shitas Marsha. The Marsha held that this that the Gemara says on Daf Yud Gimel, B'Shem Reb Chiya, that even though the Mishnah says Loi B'Merkava B'Yachid Elo Imkein HaYachacham Umeivin Midaitoi, Reb Chiya said Aval Moisrin Loi Rosh Prakim, but you can teach him Rosh Prakim. The Marsha himself had learned that that's referring to someone who's not a Chacham Umeivin Midaitoi. That someone who's not a Chacham Umeivin Midaitoi, even though you can't teach him Ma'aseh Merkava Ba'arichus, but you can teach him Rosh Prakim. We mentioned then that the Rambam holds not that way. The Rambam holds that even to the Chacham Umeivin Midaitoi, it needs to be taught in a manner of Rosh Prakim. But the Marsha had disagreed in the Pshat in the Gemara, and the Marsha says that to a Chacham Umeivin Midaita, you can teach it Ba'irech, you can teach it at length. To someone who's not a Chacham Umeivin Midaita, Maisran Loi Rosh Prakim. Now, according to this Marsha, L'chaira this Kasha that the Marsha by us asks should not be Shver. Because there is a mahalach that the Marsha could have learned the Braisa of Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch that would fit with his Shita beautifully. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to teach him, meaning Be'orech u'Bereichiv, to spell out for him a perek of Ma'aseh Merkava. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had never done this, because he considered Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch as not being a Chacham Umeivin Midaitoi. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch said, allow me to say over Ma'aseh Merkava that you taught me, because even though he's not a Chacham Umeivin Midaitoi, it was mutter for him to receive Rosh Prakim. That's how the Marsha learned the Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel. So it's mistaver that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had been Moiser Roshei Prokim. And Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch was telling Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, allow me to show you how I understood and how I'm marchiv on the inyan that you taught me in the form of Roshei Prokim. And for that, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sat down, tachas hazayis, to hear the Maaseh Merkava that Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch understood from the Roshei Prokim that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had taught him. So it makes perfect sense that he would say, Shalima Adetani, that you taught me, because it's based on the Roshei Prokim that he had been taught. It's interesting to note that there is a halacha brought in the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchas Chag HaShavuos, Arachayim Simen Tov Tzadi Dalet, that's learned from our Braisa. The Shulchan Aruch there in Sif Aleph brings that the Haftorah of Shavuos is B'merkava D'Yecheskel. Zog the Mishnah Berurah Sifka and Dalet. Firstly, he says that a Gadol V'Chacham should read this Haftorah, because the Mishnah says about the Maaseh Merkava that it's not taught to someone unless Elo Imkein hu Chacham Umeivin Midaitoi. So we're Mechabed a Chacham Umeivin Midaitoi to read this Haftorah. Secondly, Zog the Mishnah Berurah, even a Yachid that is whispering it to himself should say it ba'amida, standing. The makar of this din would seem to be the Shlo HaKadosh in Maseches Shavuos, who says to say the Haftorah on Shavuos ba'amida. The makar for this, the Shlo says, is our Gemara, that we find that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was oimid me'al hachamor in order to listen to the Divrei Torah of Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. I don't really understand the raya from our Gemara, because while it's true that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was yoyrid me'al hachamor, he still listened to Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch sitting, as the Gemara is mamshech, v'nis'atef v'yoshav al ho'even tachas hazayis. Also, the mashmos of the Gemara is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had a specific issue with being roichev al hachamor, not that he was sitting. Because when Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch asked him why he got off the chamor, he responded that when the Shechina is with us and the Malachim are escorting us, va'ani erkav al hachamor, and I am riding on a donkey, if the whole hakpada is that he's yoishev or roichev, he should have said va'ani yoishev or va'ani roichev. From the fact that he was Moisef Ani Reichev al HaChamor, sounds like his issue was with the fact that he was on a Chamor. V'tzorech bir. Let's move on to the very end of the daf. Sho'alues ben Zoyma, Mahu Lisrusei Kalba. They asked ben Zoyma, is it mutter to be Misarei Sekelev? Ben Zoyma answered, Omar Lohem, Ube'artzechem loy sa'asu. The pasuk in Parshas Emor is describing the iser of being makrav balei mumen on the mizbeach. The pasuk there in Parshas Emor says, "Uma'uch v'chasus v'nosuk v'charus," which are four descriptions of misurasim. Loi sakrivu l'Hashem, ube'artzechem loi sa'asu. So do not be makrav on the mizbeach any of these misurasim, and then the Torah adds, ube'artzechem lo yisasu, and in your land you shouldn't do this. Meaning, even if it's not for a carbon, it's stam, it's ba'artzechem, sirus should not be done. Now let's begin by first explaining the drasha. There's two problems with this drasha. The first is that the pasuk sounds like the iser of sirus is an iser in Eretz Yisrael. Ube'artzechem, in your land, lo yisasu. Also, where do we see in the pasuk of ube'artzechem lo yisasu to include even a kelef? So the Rishonim bring l'mashal Tosfos and Shabbos daf kuf yud amud beis dibur hamaschil Talmud loymar, and the Rosh over there in Shabbos, they bring a she'iltos in Emor kuf hei, who says that it's dafka, one question answers the other. That from the fact that it says, ube'artzechem lo yisasu, you shouldn't do this in your land, we know that it can't be a din that's tully in Eretz Yisrael, because it's a mitzvah shebeguf. It's a mitzvah like tefillin, like those mitzvahs that have to do with the guf of the person. It's not land-related like trumas and maaseris and shviyas. So therefore, when it says Shava'artzachem, we understand that since Be'artzachem cannot mean a hakpada, not to do it in Eretz Yisrael, it must be being marba everything that exists Be'artzachem. All animals that could exist Be'artzachem, even a kelev. Now it's interesting that the Gemara asks specifically from kelev, Mahu l'sruse kalba. And both Rashi and Tosfos are oimid on this question. Why dafka a kelev? Why are we oimid on the shaila dafka by a kelev? Zok both Rashi and Tosfos. That kelev is different than all other behemoths and chayes. That there's a din of mechir kelev. Even the money for the price of a kelev is also to be used to buy a korban to put on the mizbeach. So that means that a kelev is an animal that's most removed from the mizbeach. And since the pasuk was discussing lo sakrivu l'Hashem, the pasuk was discussing that a mesuras, a ma'uch, v'chasus, v'nasuk, v'charus, cannot go on the mizbeach. And this kelev is so vite from the mizbeach, that not only is it not roi l'hakrava, but even mechiroi, even the mechir kelev, is not roi l'hakrava. So I would have thought that there's no hakpada of sirus, kamash malon ube'artzechem loisa'asu kol sheba'artzechem. The Turei Evan here asks a very strong question. Frank the Turei Evan, that if so, like Rashi and Tosfos, that a kelev is one step more removed than even a behema or chaya tamea, that a kelev has a reason that we would have thought it's mutter even more than any other animal, so taka mehecha teisei it's aser. We know that behemoths tmeyos and chayos tmeyos, you're not allowed to be mesares, but there's no gemara that teaches it to us. The drasha for all behemoths tmeyos is also from Be'artzachem. So how does the gemara know? How did Ben Zayman know that Be'artzachem not only includes animals that are not roi l'hakrava, but it even includes a kelev, which is an animal that mechiroi, the mechir kelev, is not roi l'hakrava? Once you're explaining to me why kelev is the gres to chiddush, so why taka, how taka do we know that kelev is usher? Maybe kol she'be'artzachem only includes behemos tmeos or chayos tmeos, whose mechir is roi lahakrova, and since it has some shaychus lahakrova, that's why sirus is aser, but kelev is mutter. Now the Turei Evan himself points out that from the she'iltos itself, we see that there's a different pshat in the Gemara. The she'iltos clearly learned that even though the Gemara specifically picks kelev, but kelev is an example that the Gemara chooses, and really the Gemara is asking, and those who were shoyel ben zayma about ma'ul l'srusei kalba were asking even about a behema tameya and a chaya tameya. The she'iltos learns that they asked shalu es b'zayma ma'ul l'srusei kalba v'hu hadin every behema and chaya tameya. How did ben zayma know to aser even a kelev? So the Turei Evan suggests because it says ube'artzachem kol she'be'artzachem, anything that walks on your land. That means that any animal, even a kelev that walks on your land, will be usher. So even though a kelev is a bigger chiddush, so much so that when we ask the shaila, as Rashi and Tosfos explained, we chose kelev to ask the shaila because that's where the chiddush would be at its greatest. But the limud works for a regular behema tameya or a chaya, and it works for a kelev as well. Now the Turei Evan himself is not comfortable with that answer. The Turei Evan holds that Be'artzachem is a riboy, like any other riboy, and tafasta meruba loy tafasta, we don't have a right to be marba more than the first level, which would be an animal that's not roi lahakrova. But an animal whose mechir is not roi lahakrova, that's a separate step, mehechatesi, that's usher. So Memela, the Turei Evan himself learns that when Rashi and Tosfos explain that they asked specifically on Kelev, because Mechir Kelev is the most distant from the Mizbeach, the Shaila was dafka on Kelev and not on other behemoths. Because the Mekar to know that other behemoths and Chayas are Aser Besirus is not from this Pasuk of Ba'artzachem, but there's another Mekar. The Gemara in Shabbos, Tav Kuf Yud Aleph, brings a drasha to be marbe sirus achar sirus. If someone is mesares an animal, and then after that, somebody else does another maisa sirus to that animal, so the Gemara brings a drasha that even that second maisa sirus is aser. Zokta tu re'evan, if an animal that's not roila hakrava is not aser besirus, so then once the sirus happens, so this animal is a balmum, and a balmum is not roi lahakrova, so memela, it should be mutter to be mesareset. From the fact that we darshan a pasuk in Masechta Shabbos, to be marbe even sirus achar sirus, that means that there's an iser sirus on an animal that's not roi lahakrova. Zokta Tureyevin, that from the din of Sirus Achar Sirus, we already know that every animal that's not Roi Lahakrava is Aser B'Sirus. Just like an animal that's Misurus is not Roi Lahakrava, and it's still Aser to have an additional Sirus. Our Gemara is specifically asking, Mahu L'Srusei Kalba, a Kelev which has an additional Chiddush, that even Mechiroi is Aser L'Karbin. Maybe, perhaps, that case would be Mutter Besirus? Zokt ben Zayma, that is this drasha of Uba'artzachem lo yisasu. Now the Netziv, in his Pirush Emek She'ela, on the She'iltais, in Emar, Kofei, he asks on the Turei Evin that the Chiddush of the Turei Evin is based on an assumption. The Turei Evin is assuming that there's no nafkamina between an animal whose min is roi lahakrava, except that this particular animal has a mum, or an animal whose min is aser bahakrava, because, for example, it's a behema tameya. But the truth is that there's strong makim to say that there's two dinim over here. There's one din of an animal that's a behema tahira, that's roi lahakrava, except this particular animal happens to be a balmum. And in that case, there could have been makim to say that it's aser besiros. But an animal that the whole min is in gansen mufka from the din of carbon, there's no carbon on this min at all. It's not something specific that happened to this animal, that maybe their siros would be mutter. So the lima that the Turei Evin says, that from the din of siros achar siros we see that animals that are not roi lahakrava are aser besirus, Zokta Netziv, that that's not so pashut. Mehecha teisi to say that. From sirus achar sirus, I only know that animals that are roi lahakrava, but have a particular issue, this particular animal has a particular issue, that's aser besirus. But an animal whose min is not roi lahakrava, that I don't see from the din of sirus achar sirus. Al karchach, we have to learn, like the mashmos of the she'iltais, that the shaila of our gemara was on every animal that's not roi lahakrava, not just the kelev. It's interesting that the Gra in Shulchan Aruch, with a little bit of a remez, shows us that he holds like the She'iltais, and like the way the Netziv understands the She'iltais, and not like the Turei Evin. Because in Shulchan Aruch it brings that it's usher to be Mesares, Bein Behema Tehaira, Bein Behema Temeya. And on the din of Behema Temeya, the Bir HaGra says one word, Chagiga Yodalad. Now, according to the Turei Evin, Chagiga Yudalid is not the Makar that a Behema Tmeya is Aser Besirus. Rather, the Gra should have written, according to the Turei Evin, Shabbos Kuf Yud Aleph. Chagiga Yudalid is only about a Kelef. But according to the She'iltais, the Makar that a Behema Tmeya is Aser Besirus is Taka Chagiga Yudalid.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.